Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Good afternoon to our live YouTubers out there. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. It's Jeremy Warner, Michael Tulip, live on this Friday afternoon. And if Mike and I are wiping some crusties from our eyes, trying to down some coffee, it was a late night at State Farm Center, late night drive for both of us. So just a few hours of sleep, but we got some thoughts on this really epic comeback for Illinois. Down 18 points to Northwestern at the half. Looked bleak, Mike. Looked like we were going to be talking about, man, what does this team need to do now to just make sure they stick in the NCAA tournament field? Didn't want to have to do much, but it turned from bleak to ridiculous excitement and exuberance based on what we saw in the second half. But it was a roller coaster ride, and it was quite the night at State Farm Center. And Mike, you were there. So as a former player taking all that in, I'm always interested to get your perspective of what your thoughts were going through that game or at the end of that game.
Yeah, I think what stood out the most is usually a team that puts together that type of first half with the defensive miscues, the scouting miscues, the turnovers, those teams should not be able to win the game. But once again, you can't count out the talent that this team has. And when they do play with that bite, they're really tough to score on. They're tough to defend. And we can get into kind of the changes that were made in the second half, but by and large, there's guys in this team that want the big moment and that want the pressure and the weight of that pressure. And there's guys that aren't afraid to take some risks. And I think conservative play gets you beat last night in that second half. And so you needed some guys to probably take some questionable shots. They went in, but they went in. So, you know, that's you needed them all. You needed them all. So, you can point to a lot of guys that made just huge contributions and directly contributed to that win. But look no further than Terrence Shannon and Matthew Meyer and Sincere Harris and Coleman Hawkins and Ty Rogers. I mean, it felt like it was those guys. And RJ did his thing as well. And we'll get into talking about Jaden and Dane and Goody. But man, it speaks to this talent once again. 1 through 8, 1 through 9, 1 through 10, whatever it is, you got a lot of good players.
Yeah, I want to dive into the freshman again, making a huge impact on winning. I want to dive into a guy that probably isn't the headliner from last night, but just allows you to do so much. But let's start with the two stars here, Mike, the two transfers. And Shannon just had one of the best halves I've ever seen from an Illini player. And then Matthew Meyer kind of. Piper said in the podcast last night, I didn't really realize it, Meyer had 14 points in the second half, 8 at the free throw line, two big threes as well. But you saw what that duo is capable of when they're clicking together offensively. We haven't seen that much. So just what did you see from Shannon in an epic half and then Meyer to be a huge supporting scorer there?
Yeah, I think once again, we speak to how this experiment has worked out, where you go and get two impact guys like that in the portal and try to pull together. And I think you envisioned, maybe not the first half, but you envisioned halves like that, where you get 38 points from those two guys. And they do it in a way that kind of complements each other. I thought it was extremely important that after airballing his first three in the first half, and Terrence finding some sort of rhythm, and that came from Matthew Meyer driving baseline and being able to hit him on that drift pass. And when you have guys that can shoot off script and off balance and maybe out of structure, mm-hmm. it's very important for them to see one go in rhythm first to be able to allow them to step out and do all those other things. So I think Terrence being able to catch, you know, 1-2 step, catch and shoot, great drift pass from Meyer. And really, it felt like every basket was huge in that second half, but starting the half off by making that three the way that they did in rhythm, it allowed, I think, Terrence to gain a little bit of confidence to where he hits a couple other ones in the beginning of that second half. And I'm not sure he shoots up the same confidence if he doesn't make that first one. And that's all from Meyer driving and them complimenting each other. And, you know, I thought Terrence did an unbelievable job on Chase Audige in the second half. We'll get into what makes that Northwestern offense so difficult to guard. But Terrence was just fantastic in that zoom action and guarding Chase and making sure that everything was tough for him and nothing at the rim, and he wasn't getting clean looks from three. So all around, just fantastic effort. And those are two guys that when you look at in March, that's what I'm saying. Like you're a 2 seed or a 3 seed or a 1 seed. That you don't want to play guys like that. Guys that are just complete wild cards, where when it's right, it's you can't really fathom any team in the country beating them.
All right, Mike, so let's talk about this, because yeah, those two give you just an option to beat anybody. Like if those two are going like that, you have the chance to beat anybody, which we have seen earlier in this season. What changed first half to second half? Because first half, Boo Booey is doing what Tony Perkins did, doing what some other people have done against Illinois. He still had 13 in the second half, but 0-for-5 on his last 5 field goals. But what changed for Illinois schematically? What changed from them energy-wise that you saw?
I'm going to prevent this from being a long-winded answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my best here. To me, the biggest change, or at least in my opinion, was recognizing that it wasn't Dane and Jaden's night. And the importance of that, some staffs can recognize it, but some staffs are reluctant to shelf guys because of maybe the ripple effect it can have, and is it going to linger, and how are they going to take it? And when you worry about that as a staff, that's you're doing your team a disservice. And I thought last night, once again, it speaks to the talent. You know, if you didn't have a Coleman Hawkins, then you probably have to ride with Dane and let him play through that. And if you don't have a Sincere Harris, you probably got to ride with Jaden. And, you know, then you don't get as much of a bad night, and you can limit it, and there's some damage control because you have other guys. But also, implementing Coleman at the 5, it made Nicholson less of a factor. I'm a huge Nicholson fan.
He's made a huge impact on that team.
Oh, my God.
I think they lost Nance and Ryan Young, and they're better. Nicholson's a reason for it.
He doesn't get talked about enough because all the talk is about Nance and Ryan Young leaving, but what those departures have done has allowed Boo Booey and Chase Audige to be much more focal points in the offense with a guy that is perfect. He needs them and they need him, because you know their first 11 points right last night, when it was 11-4, all 11 points were off of Nicholson screens. And I get it. We can say all day, stop going under. There's a reason guys kept going under, is because damn it, it's hard to fight over on the guy that's 7'2", 260 like that. And he's so timely with the way he screens and he fights you. And, you know, having a guy that only worries about those things can really hurt you as the opposing team, because he knows exactly who he is. Now you implement Coleman at the 5. Now you spread him out offensively. And then you limit his impact as a screener, because when Dane's guarding him and you're in drop coverage, every time Boo Booey comes off, if you're not going to fight through the screen, or Chase Audige comes off, it's free. There's no one up there to corral it. There's no one up there to switch it. And with Coleman, you know, you're not going to do that every time, but it's good to be able to deploy that in certain instances, because with Coleman, you can at least corral or stay with the ball or emergency switch if you need to. And the way Boo Booey had it going and the way you wanted to keep Chase Audige from getting it going was making sure that every time they came off the screen, they at least saw some sort of body. And it gave time for these guys to fight through. But also, all right, let's call a spade, what changed? You made shots.
Switched baskets. That basket was the make basket in the north end zone, and the south was the miss basket.
Yeah, and you made a lot of really big ones. Like the RJ Melendez three, it just seems like a throwaway three at the moment. But, Brad deliberately ran that play. It's the same play they ran against Texas when RJ had a big three in that second half. Just kind of start him in the corner and loop him out to the left slot to be able to get that shot. So,
sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but the Ty Rogers offensive rebound to get Meyer the three after Shannon missed two free throws, huge shot.
Yeah, 54-47, right? And Terrence, I think, misses both free throws. And then you kick it out to Meyer, and he makes Nicholson dance a little bit. And look, I think the other change, in my opinion, was when you're guarding Northwestern, especially with their guards, with Audige and with Booey, they're going to run that zoom action like crazy. So if you don't know what it is, picture Boo Booey and Chase Audige starting in the paint. You saw them head in the hole under the basket a ton last night. And you'll have a guy come down and kind of set a rub screen. Nicholson has the ball up top, and that little rub screen is enough to give them a head start to be able to come screaming off the top of the key for that handoff. And it's, the Phoenix Suns run it a ton. I mean, there's a lot of NBA teams that run it. It's a popular action. But when you have a screener like that, when you have good guards like that, it makes it really difficult to guard. So the change that I saw was, instead of letting them dictate exactly where they wanted to go off that ball screen or off that handoff, guys started to really stay attached. We've talked about it before, where if you're guarding a shooter, of course, but if you're guarding someone in zoom action and they're underneath the basket, it is imperative to stay attached. You cannot give them space, because the space that you give them, now you're letting them dictate where to go, and now that's 6 feet that you have to make up to try to close that gap. And now they can either pop behind the screen if you want to cheat it, or they can continue to curl off of it and you're way too late trailing. So, and then the other thing too is they went under a ton in the first half, and it was not the scout at all. It was just lazy. It was miscues. And even when, Sincere Harris helps from the ball side corner, and then what I'm referring to with the zoom action, it goes for other plays too. So picture this. I'm going to back up my seat right now. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, this would be helpful. If you're listening, I apologize. But I am guarding the inbound. Okay. I'm Sincere Harris. I'm guarding the inbound. When Boo Booey enters it, okay. So now Boo Booey enters it. If you just take a step back and put your arms out and don't give him a certain way to go, he is completely dictating you. Mm-hmm. And because Sincere did that, Booey could give one jab right, get you off a little bit. Now you're a little bit late, and then come off the baseline. And when he comes off the baseline, you think you're late, so you try to shoot the gap. And then because he's being able to dictate it, he gives you a little nudge and is able to bump back off the screen and hits that corner three. So the point is, when guys inbounded on you, okay, the first thing you need to do, it's arm bar right on his right hip, and I am giving you one way to go. And by giving you one way to go, now I know which way it is. So I can be more in tune with when to trail, how to trail, and they call it locking and trailing. You got to lock onto him and then trail. You can't give him both ways to go, because that gives him a way to shake off of you. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but I just wanted to break that down because it hurt them a ton in the first half.
No, that's why we love having you, Mike. Before we get to the freshman, I know everyone wants to hear your thoughts, because it's so much fun to watch him. Coleman Hawkins did not have a huge stat line, but again, he plays an incredible amount of minutes for this team. And you mentioned, Mike, I'm glad you did, their ability just to change. Like that is invaluable. And it's mostly Coleman Hawkins. Like the fact that we talk about last year's team, they had to play one way. There was one way they could really play, and then Brad in the NCAA tournament just throws the freshman in, because why not? But there was really only one way they could play. This year, you can change it up mid-game, pregame, all those different things. And Coleman Hawkins is a huge part of it. Had a big block, had a couple of nice moments, but just his versatility is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, and look, he once again shows his intellect every game. And there were a lot of different times that showed last night. And one in particular, it's 11-4, right? And Matthew Myers backing down into the post. And Coleman knows that, I think he was guarded by Verhoeven at the time, and knows that if I'm ball side, that is where the trap is coming from. So the second that trap goes, I'm diving to the basket because I know my man's going to leave me. And if they can't zone up in time, I'm going to have a free run, and Matthew Meyer hits him for a layup, a little alley-oop layup. And then, you know, another time as well. And also, I thought his pursuit on the glass was fantastic in the first half. That was, to me, kind of the one bright spot for them in the first half, was I thought Matthew Meyer and Coleman Hawkins in particular just really kept things alive in the first half and gave them at least second chance opportunities. They didn't capitalize on a lot of them, but gave them a lot of second chance opportunities. And then you talk about growth as well with Coleman. There was a you know, 57-50, Coleman's kind of dancing with the ball on the left wing. You can hear the State Farm Center getting restless. It's palpable. Like, you can start hearing like, oh, what's he doing? Like that. And November Coleman and last year Coleman would have snatched it back and shot a step back three. But even when he goes to get into his dribble downhill, there's 2 seconds left in the shot clock, and he uses every ounce of that shot clock, gets Nick and shot fakes at the end, and gets Nicholson up in the air, and then finishes. Like, that's who Coleman Hawkins is. Yep. And I get it. You know, some people have stuff to say about him, but time and time again, he shows why he makes winning plays, and he did again last night.
Yeah. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Mike, great question from Jake, and I was going to get to it, but I'll let him take it here. Why do we keep giving up career highs? Boo Booey, 35. Jameson Battle, 31. Battle had like 13 in the last 5 minutes. I'm not as concerned about that one, but Jalen Pickett, 41. Trayce Jackson-Davis wasn't a career high, but Tony Perkins was. What's your thoughts on that, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think they can certainly do a better job on those guys. You let Boo Booey get going early, and you start going under on him. I would imagine, and I'm talking about Boo Booey, and I'm going to switch over to Terrence Shannon. I would imagine that was a career high and a half for Terrence Shannon, perhaps. Yeah. And the reason he ended up making shots was they let him kind of get loose in the beginning. So, you know, although the percentages are the percentages with these certain guys, you let them get going early. That's why the first 5 minutes, first 10 minutes of the game are ever important. Because if they start feeling it, Benedict Mathurin and Champagne last year, Funk as well, you start letting them get going, then these shots that start going in, they're low percentage shots, but they're high percentage given the confidence that these guys have. And, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis, that was a you live, you learn. We can't play him straight up. But Pickett particularly and Booey, Booey hits 5 threes in the first half, which for sure would be a career high for him in a half. And you allowed him to do that. And I don't think it was a scheme thing. They were not supposed to be going under, and they went under. Pickett was kind of the ultimate, I'm going to shake your hand, man, because even when they got the switches, and I know you didn't want Dane on him a ton, but even when Dane got switched onto him, he was going into step back threes, and he was just making them. So for those types of guys, I thought Sincere did a good job. When you compare it to Jaden, I thought he felt Sincere more. It wasn't perfect. Obviously, Sincere had his fair share of miscues, but I thought he felt him. And that's all you can ask for. These are really good players. Boo Booey is going to have a long professional career. It's crazy he has one more year. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with
RG's
that.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, Pickett's probably going to have wear an NBA jersey at some point. Like, there's a reason why these guys are good. It's just a matter of stopping the bleeding, right? Like, the 30-point games typically happen because you let them get going or feel good at some point of the stretch of the game. So those are the ones you got to limit.
Does it also speak to confidence in his defenders that he can there was one possession I saw Northwestern blitz Terrence Shannon. He passes Ty Rogers. Ty Rogers turns it over. It's like, oh, that can work. Yeah. They didn't really do that with Boo. They obviously did it with Trace Jackson Davis in the last Indiana game, and it worked pretty well for the most part. Brad kind of has confidence in his guys to play single up, seems like.
Yeah, and look, because that's the way you practice it.
Yeah.
And I think people always want to see certain adjustments during the game, but there's certain things that you cannot do if you haven't repped them. A team is dominating you and they're not a good shooting team, so someone's like, well, why don't we just throw a 2-3 zone at them? It's like, well, if you don't practice 2-3 zone, it's going to be even worse for you. Because have you learned how to get box outs out of a 2-3? Have you learned how to get box outs out of a 1-3-1? Because then you're getting crushed on the glass. So then, you know, I think scheme-wise, I've talked about it before. I know a lot of people want the hard hedging. You don't need to do that with Coleman because – one, you pull him further away from the basket for him to get the contest that he gets. You pull away a lot of your rebounding from the basket. But he said the reason why teams hard hedge and don't switch is because the guy that's hard hedging can't switch. You don't need to do that with Coleman because Coleman can switch. Mm-hmm. So you corral, you level it off, you get the ball out of his hands. You don't need to commit all the way to 28 feet. And if there's an emergency switch, you can do that. I think it speaks to their versatility, but for sure with guards, you know, Brad definitely wants to play these guys straight up, and these guys just need to continue to accept that challenge because they're gonna face really good guards coming into March, and as you go to the NCAA tournament, and you don't want to be on the have like a Carson Edwards NCAA tournament type situation where a guy's just has 46 points because it doesn't matter, you can throw up anything.
What makes Sincere Harris such an impactful defender?
Yeah, I think with Sincere, it's his consistent energy and effort. That seems like such a kind of BS cliche simple, answer. Man. But look, when you have a guy like him, and let's make one thing clear, he is not mistake-free. He makes his fair share of mistakes. But you will always give yourself a chance for the good to outweigh the bad when you play with that type of energy and effort. Good things just happen. Like things kind of happen to fall into your lap. The ball bounces your way. I think DeMonte had a little bit of that, especially early on in his career where it's like, wow, yeah, the ball just kind of bounced towards DeMonte again. He just happens to be right place, right time. You know, right place, right time isn't a luck thing. It's putting yourself in that position and it's being engaged and playing with that effort. You've seen, I think maybe Joey Wagner talked about when he starts stomping around. Yeah. That's kind of when you know it's on. He's been so impactful because they've been able to deploy him in different stretches. Like I said, it's not every game is going to be a Sincere Harris game. I thought there were kind of elements where he hurt them against Indiana in that second half. But when he's right, when he's playing within himself, and when he's guarding the way he does, you can throw him in a game like that, and he can turn the tide.
Got a question from Liam talking about Ty Rogers, the other freshman, made a big impact on this game. Since the Indiana game, Rogers has been so much more on the ball, acting as a point man. Does that speak more to Rogers' development or figuring out what the limitations are for the other guys?
I think questions like those, it's usually never 100% to zero. It's probably a little bit of both. I think there's something with Ty because he's a non-shooter, then the matchup's typically a guy that it's a Nicholson, like last night, or a Verhoeven, guys that they want to stick on him because they can be helpers. But I think Ty, you saw it in the FIBA stuff, right? You know, he's coming off of ball screens. He's taking on some point guard duties. And I think that was what we kind of heard before the season, And he's showing that when he doesn't turn it over and when he plays within himself, you know, he has the layup to make it 40 or 36, can beat a guy downhill, can come off a ball screen. He does such a good job. It reminds me a lot of, I don't want to throw Jaden Ivey's name around, but in the sense where, like, when he comes off a ball screen, he plays with such good pace where he can put you on his back hip and kind of move you off. And he's such a quick jumper, like we talked about, so he can get to those quick floaters. And
I told Piper, it kind of reminds me of Jalen Pickett a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I think that's exactly right. I think it's a guy that, and Ty maybe even has a little bit more size than him. So I'm excited for him. And even just going off the previous Sincere Harris question, I've mentioned it time and time again on these podcasts, but when they start not getting these freshman calls, it's going to amplify their defensive abilities even more. And then, you know, with Ty, I think continuing to build on getting the ball a little bit this year, right? He's coming off, and then next year, you know, maybe it's a situation where he's in even more of those scenarios and kind of being able to wet the beak, I guess, this year, and then head into next year saying, all right, you got a little bit of experience. Now let's double down on it.
Just a few more. We'll talk about what's next. NJ Illini, is this team relying on their length and athleticism too much? It's visible on the blocks from behind. When they're able to recover, that's the good. Invisible on some of lackadaisical D, the bad.
That's a good question, because I think sometimes guys that have versatility and length, I think maybe like 10 podcasts ago we had talked about this. When you know that you have that length and versatility, you tend to relax a little bit because you know that, I mean, Matthew Meyer, look no further than Matthew Meyer. I mean, I've never seen a guy go more from hands on his knees to recovering to block a shot off the glass. I could not do that. I had to be in the gap. I had to be in the right position. I didn't have the size and length, but these guys do. So it's continuing to challenge yourself and say, hey, I know we have this size and length, but if we stay in tune and we're dialed in the whole entire time, I mean, look what we can do. I mean, Ty's a really good example of that, where I think Ty's always dialed in. He's always ready to rotate. He's always ready to sink and fill or crack down. And he typically puts himself in a good position with that. So Matthew Meyer's probably at like a 70% success rate with that. But if he can get that up to 80%, 85%, he's going to be even more of an impactful defender.
But the difference of Meyer and Alphonso Plummer on defense, just
lengthwise,
is you can have an off possession and recover enough.
Yeah, and look, Plummer's biggest thing was he had kind of the double whammy. Right, yeah. He would take plays off, and he didn't have the length and size to recover, and he got hung up on screens all the time. So, you know, when you get hung up on a screen, Matthew Meyer's done it before, but he can at least chase down and get a contest or get a hand on the ball.
Right.
Those smaller guys can't do that, so the margin for error is smaller. So I don't know if at this point all of a sudden Matthew Meyer's gonna be like, you know what, I'm not going hands on the knees anymore.
Yeah.
That's probably going to continue. I guess you just kind of have to roll with it. I'd be shocked if it hasn't been addressed, but he's made his impact felt. He's made his presence felt on that end, and you just want to see him be more consistent with that effort.
Global says half of Nicholson's screens are borderline illegal, shuffling in the defender, kneeing and pushing off both arms and hands. Yeah, he moves a little bit, Mike, but he seems to have it down to a science because they don't call it.
Yeah, he's masterful with it. I think, you know, a guy like that we've talked about before. I know I sung his praises earlier in the podcast, but a guy that knows who he is. When I was doing the film review, I was like, maybe I'll count the amount of screens that Nicholson set in the game. And then I got like 5 minutes into the game, I'm like, I can't do this.
In the 30s by that point?
Yeah, he was like, you know, he.
You know who he reminds me of, Mike? The one good year of Omer Asik on the Chicago Bulls.
Sure. Yeah. That was a hell of a pull, Jeremy. But he, you know, I remember I was tracking it in the beginning of the game, and like I said, you know, their first 11 points were directly off of Nicholson screens, and I'm like, points per screen should be like a metric. We do all these other metrics. I think he generated 11 points off 8 screens in the first 3 minutes of the game, which is just nuts.
That's your stat, man.
It's a very high success rate.
It's called the LaTulip.
Yeah, we'll coin it. It's like the Elam ending, right? He's just throwing his name on it. I'll throw my name on that one.
I love it. All right, Mike, next, You head to Ohio State, a team that is floundering, a free fall. I said it last night. They have a Minnesota-like streak here, 14 of 15 they have lost. Clearly, they are more talented than Minnesota, at least depth-wise. Minnesota's got a few good players, but I mean, Bryce Sensabaugh is probably going to be a first-round draft pick. They have some talented guys, but head on the road, Mike. Right now, I still believe it's a quad one opportunity. I doubt it will stay that way.
How?
Yeah, that's just crazy. Like the fact that a ranked win over Northwestern is not a quad one win. I feel like we need to move that quad to quad one through 40.
Yeah, the analytics don't like Northwestern, yeah. And it's because of their offensive metrics. But the analytics really like Ohio State, and it's because of their offensive metrics, which have slid considerably. But look, this is a game that you do not want to be the team that allows this Ohio State team to get right. Just, you know what? They're whimpering in the street. Just put them away.
Step like, on their throats, Mike.
Step like, on their throats,
they will
man.
Quit. Like, they will quit.
Emotional win. You came back, and look, I know these comeback wins that Illinois had this year, UCLA, Texas. They did it against Northwestern last night. Don't have this become a trend again where it's like, hey, we'll get down and then we'll have the wind at our back and then we'll come back into it. This is 11 a.m., or I guess noon Eastern. This is noon Eastern in what is likely going to be a half-filled, if that,
sleepy
arena.
Yeah.
You're going to need to create your own energy. But for me, this is kind of my, under-the-radar thing I'm looking for in this game. I don't want to see anything lingering from Dane Danger, Jaden Epps, or Luke Goody. Last night was last night.
Flush it.
Wasn't your game. Flush it, because those three guys, you need them, man. Like, you need them in a big way. So it can't be about, look, the hardest thing to do for young guys is to separate their own performance from what the team accomplished. And I say that because a lot of guys, and I was the same way when I was younger, where I was like, I want you to know that I'm not okay with being out. Maybe I'm happy that we won, but I want you to know that I'm okay with not being out. So guys show that in different ways. And at this time in March, or late February, early March, you're relying on a few young guys, and these young guys need to be mature, right? Turn the corner, turn the page. You know, the games keep coming, and then all of a sudden it's March, and all of a sudden it's over. So, you know, you got to be able to have a short-term memory on that. And I'll say this too. I was really impressed last night. Jaden Epps, I was there live. I saw it. He was in his own world.
He asked out after he gave him another three to Bowie in their second half run, and he never came back, and the body language wasn't great.
Yeah, and look, that's not atypical for a young guy. But I will say that just like the Matthew Meyer, we asked about like leadership on this team before the season, just like the Matthew Meyer hug of RJ Melendez. I know like we've made a lot of that, but I saw it live, and I think that means a lot. And same thing with Jaden Epps, man. Like, he gets up off the bench to go to the huddle. I think there was maybe – it was at the under four media, and very clearly was not going back into the game. Like, he was done for the night. And Sincere Harris and Terrence Shannon just put on a show. The place is rocking. They're fired up. They're pumped up. And the first thing they do when they get to the huddle is walk over and hug Jaden Epps.
That's huge.
And pat him on the back and say, hey, man, like, I don't know what was said, but I could tell just the demeanor is like, hey, we got you. Like, we got your back, all right? And we know that you're going to have ours, in the next few weeks. There's going to be a moment where Jaden Epps is going to step up, and he's going to have their back. So,
dude, I loved everything about Terrence on the court, but the energy and the leadership he was showing, like, emotionally, he put them on his back as well, along with Sincere and Ty and all those things. But just, I just saw that guy was going to win that game.
Yeah, and he could have easily just said, you know what, I'm super out of rhythm, three fouls in the first half, not my night, I'm getting back from a concussion.
But that leadership right there that you're talking about, I love seeing that.
Well,
assertive Terrence Shannon in any way, that's the NBA player, Terrence Terrence.
That's what older guys realize. And I guarantee, you know who the first person was to walk up and hug Jaden Epps was Terrence Shannon. You know who the second person was Sincere Harris. And I guarantee you it was because you saw Terrence Shannon doing it. Like that, to me, that's leadership. And you'll realize when you get older, I'm saying as players, I'm not talking to you specifically, Jeremy. But you realize when you get older as a player that you take so much stress and anxiety off yourself when you just pour it into others. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when it feels like, maybe I'm just doing this to do it, do it. Like that's, it's because there's no bad that can come from it. Mm-hmm. There's no bad that can come from it. So learning lesson for a few of those guys. But that's what I'm looking for, man. I want to see the maturity. You guys are young, but we're counting on you. And can you turn the page? And I'll be looking to see if they can do that.
Yeah, and that's a tough assignment for Jaden, who's been really good defensively for a freshman most
really
of the year.
Really tough assignment, yeah.
But Dane Danger, what can he take from that game? Because that was kind of a freshman performance from a guy who is playing in his first year, really, of college basketball.
Yeah, it's, you know, bigs haven't had a lot of success against Nicholson.
Yeah.
He's physical. He'll box you out. But the thing with Dane that he has to realize is when teams trap you, because right now he's struggling with pressure. One-on-one, he's probably a top four big maybe in the conference when it comes to getting into him one-on-one, toolsy, if you want to use a baseball phrase. But when he sees pressure, his immediate instinct is to try to spin out of it or get out of it. I mean, he had a moment last night where Matthew Meyer, they entered the ball to him. Matthew Meyer was coming on the baseline towards him out to the same ball side corner, and he spun into Matthew Meyer when he could have just dribbled with his left to beat the prep. Like that trap, you know it's coming from the ball side. That quick move has to be because the defense is rotating from the baseline, so that quick move has to be to the midline. Because then you eliminate the trapper that's coming over. If you can beat him through that gap, you eliminate the trapper. When you spin and Nicholson levels you off, or you stop because you see a baseline rotator, now when you come back around, that guy's on your back to trap. And that's where he got the majority of his turnovers. And then the one-handed passes out of the traps too. Like when he becomes more of a focal point in this league, just like Trayce Jackson-Davis, just like Hunter Dickinson, just like Zach Edey, dude, you're gonna get trapped.
Yeah.
Like that's it's what makes what Kofi did even more crazy. Is he got trapped like every night, and it right. didn't matter. You still 21 a game. So, yeah, I think that's where you kind of tip your cap and say, Dane, like you still got a ways to go. But that's encouraging. Like the fact that Dane has a long ways to go, it's like, dude, he's already making a huge impact in the conference. So you know, learn from last night, and you know, maybe next game is your game.
And the fact that you can survive and win a game with Dane and Jaden playing poorly and having a bad half, like it's why this team is understandably frustrating within games, from game to game. Most teams are in college basketball, but I know you have. There's such high expectations with this program, but this team is so enticing, Mike, because of when they are good, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, I mean that's you said it. I'm not going to add too much to that. The highs are highs and the lows are lows. And the reason the highs are highs is because of the talent level. And the reason the lows are lower is because you have a lot of inexperience on that team. And you have – this is still year one, all these guys playing together. It's the anti-Northwestern.
Yep.
You know, where Northwestern is super stable and solid is areas that Illinois isn't because of their youth and inexperience. So, again, it speaks to being able to have stability year after year and bring back guys, bring back your backcourt, bring back your wings, and those guys will continue to learn how to play together, continue to value the scout. And because that's what Northwestern, when I watch Northwestern, that's what they do. They are never out of position defensively. They run their stuff to a T. They got everybody on that team that, you know, their role identification is chef's kiss. And they know exactly who they are. And that's what makes them hard to beat. Because you look at them analytically, that should not be a team that's second in the conference.
Right.
But if you do all those little intangible things, you can find yourself towards the top. And then if you do all those intangible things and you add the talent on top of it, like this Illinois team has, that's when you're winning leagues. So that's what we'll say about that, I guess.
Mike, the last stretch here, you got Ohio State home against Michigan at Purdue. Obviously playing at Mackey is incredibly, incredibly difficult. Getting a double bye is still going to be difficult even if you win two because – Maryland, Indiana have the tiebreaker over you. So if they win 12 and you win 12, Illinois will be below that. We'll see if Northwestern can scratch out some wins here against a tough schedule. But, man, Illinois is in the thick of it, and they have the chance to finish top five at least for a fourth straight year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and look, this Michigan game coming up, why every year Michigan, it's like, they're dangerous again in the late season. And, you know, they I think they popped themselves on the right side of the bubble last night. But they have a lot of guys that are emerging. I think Doug McDaniel was fantastic last night for them against Rutgers, and Kobe Bufkin's playing like an NBA draft pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see him gone this year, which again is, it feels like Michigan does this year after year where it's like, oh yeah, those guys are leaving now. Like Brzdakis left, and Houston left, and Diabate leaves, and now you got Bufkin. You think you have some stability, and he might be gone too. So, and then you know what you get with Hunter as well. I think they've done a better job of being able to play together, and their roles are somewhat being identified as well, because that was their biggest issue early in the season. So, I mean, you're in for probably another dogfight in that game. So I'm excited, because if you win two, I mean, what are the chances here? Is there a world they win out and Purdue loses out? Is that a share of the title? Is it alive at all?
Purdue hasn't clinched quite yet, because Northwestern is just a game and a half back, and they've beaten Purdue. Let's see. Michigan's got Wisconsin at home, Illinois away, Indiana away, and they've lost to Purdue. I don't think Michigan can win it, because they lost to Purdue. Well, they could win a share of it.
All right.
But they wouldn't get the one seed. They're still mathematical, which would be insane.
Well, I guess theoretically, you know, Illinois wins out, which means they beat Purdue. Purdue loses out.
They get a share. Yeah.
I mean, it's not it could happen, I guess, right? Because all these other teams, I think Illinois or Indiana still plays Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess would
tomorrow,
vault Indiana up. But I think Indiana still plays one more. Michigan, right?
Indiana's got at Purdue, home against Iowa, home against Michigan.
Right. And then I think Maryland still plays somebody as well that's also in that mix. I could be wrong there, but Northwestern.
Yeah, they play – a lot of these teams are playing each other.
They play each other.
Nobody has – I don't think anybody has Minnesota left. Nobody has –
Nebraska.
Like, Illinois's got Ohio State left, but yeah, nobody's got Nebraska.
Which is good, because I think Illinois has the – this next game, Illinois, by standings,
right,
has the weakest opponent out of anybody that is up there. So that's why it's all the more important that you go and grab that win.
Yeah.
Because the rest of these teams are probably going to end up cannibalizing themselves in this last week or so.
All right, Michael Tuitt, man. Thanks as always. We'll reconvene next week. Of course, we're going to record our film room after this, so all you VIP members will get a chance to watch Mike break down how this happened in detail on the court. I'm looking forward to this, so you can check that out on the VIP side. But thanks for listening on the YouTube channel, for everyone that did. And Mike, thanks as always, man, for making us basketball smarter, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Great stuff as always from Mike LaTulip, and you can check out the VIP film room this weekend at IlliniInquirer.com. It's great to learn about the game. Like, I am much smarter watching the game because of watching these and going through these with Mike LaTulip. So that's a great part. But this one's even just fun to relive and to have somebody really, really break it down, because Hummel is fantastic. I saw Robbie last night. Really nice guy. But, you know, to get the breakdown of the film, go back and kind of do all these things, it's awesome with Michael Tuitt. So take advantage of that if you're a VIP member, and check out the VIP film rooms that we post after each week after some of these games. And if you're not a VIP member, it's just $1 for your first month. And I can tell you that is worth the price of admission for Michael Tuitt's film rooms and when we get Jay Layman in the fall breaking down football as well. All right, that'll do it for us on this Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. We are going to do some of these pods live on YouTube if you prefer that. It's been a lot of fun getting some interaction with you guys that way as well, and just grow the audience over there. So subscribe to us on YouTube. Give us a like. That helps us out a lot. So appreciate when you guys do that. But everybody have a great weekend. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.